I speak to you this day in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Please be seated. Well, I know I speak on behalf of the whole Wycliffe community when I say thank you for inviting us to be a part of your worship. You, the cathedral community, it's an absolute joy to join in with you all as you worship here in this place. I'd like to begin with a question. Have you ever wondered how your perspective on things would change if you knew you only had a few weeks to live? You know, parish priests often walk with people during their final days. And I can tell you from experience that at such a time, people rarely think about all the things that normally occupy our attention. They focus on the people they most want to be with, how they want those people to remember them, and what they most hope those people will do once they're gone. Well, the conversation in today's gospel reading takes place at just such a time, near the end of Jesus' public ministry, immediately on the heels of this passage, Jesus speaks about his death. He would soon be on his way to Jerusalem, and he knew that death was coming for him. Perhaps that's why on this day, Jesus focused on how his closest friends would remember him. He wanted to know if they recognized him for who he was. And he chose a very interesting setting in which to pose this question. For he had led them into a region called Caesarea Philippi. Located in the northern region of modern-day Israel, Caesarea Philippi was about 25 miles northeast of the Sea of Galilee. The region had a particularly rich and varied religious significance. First, the area contained a key site for the worship of Pan, the god of nature. And actually, for generations, this area had been called Panias. Secondly, the area contained the remains of over a dozen ancient temples dedicated to the Syrian god Baal. Thirdly, this region contains the source of the River Jordan, and so it also holds historic significance for Judaism. And finally, Herod the Great had built a temple of white marble in this area to honor Caesar. And as it happens, one of Herod's sons, Philip the Tetrarch, had embellished this temple further. And in doing so, he thought he'd also change the name of the place from Panias to Caesarea Philippi. Well, the conversation from today's gospel took place at a place that was significant for pantheism, paganism, Judaism, and Roman imperial worship. It was in this place of conflicting worldviews that Jesus asked his followers, "Who do people say I am?" New Testament scholar William Barclay, commenting on this interaction, wrote, "It's as if Jesus deliberately set himself against the backdrop of the world's religions in all their history and their splendor, and demanded to be compared with them." It was in this setting that the disciples reported what people were saying about Jesus. Some said he was John the Baptist, others Elijah, and others a prophet. Points to the fact that many of the people in Jesus' time saw him as a prophet. someone who challenged people to return to God and his ways. But it's important to note that this answer, as complimentary as it was, obviously didn't give the whole picture, because Jesus probed further, deliberately using a juxtaposing little word so important in Scripture, but. But who do you say I am? Now the you here, although it doesn't show up in the English, is actually the plural form. Jesus was not asking Peter's opinion. He was asking the disciples as a group, the very beginnings of the church, who they said he was. Peter offered an answer on behalf of all of them. You are the Messiah. Messiah, it's a Hebrew word that means the anointed one. Translated into Greek, the word is Christ, the anointed king, long foretold and awaited, herald of the final day of judgment. It's worth noting that Jesus in no way challenged Peter identifying him as the Messiah, but he did warn them to keep this knowledge to themselves. The time for Jesus to be revealed as the Messiah had not yet come. Perhaps this was partly because the disciples' understanding of that word still needed shaping. Many of the Jews of their time were expecting a Messiah who would conquer the Romans and destroy all powers hostile to the kingdom of God. The Messiah's story was supposed to be a tale of conquest. They were not expecting a Messiah who would die, let alone one who would die a degrading and torturous death. No wonder Peter took Jesus aside and expressed his disbelief and disgust at such a prospect. In response to this, Jesus, of course, rebuked Peter so strongly, calling him Satan, the great tempter himself. And it is tempting, isn't it, to imagine that we could have the resurrection and the New Jerusalem without the cross? Surely this is why the cross remains embarrassing for many people today. We want the conquest without the degradation of the cross. But Jesus didn't stop by affirming only his path to the cross. He went on to point out that anyone who wants to follow him had better be prepared to actually follow him by denying himself, literally saying no to oneself, to the point of giving up one's life, in order, strangely, to really find one's life. To describe Jesus as an honored prophet is not enough. His uniqueness, his authority, his significance is at an entirely different level. He is someone whose death was inextricably linked to his messiahship and to the ushering in of this thing that we all long for, the kingdom of God. He is someone who wants our very lives, and he is someone who is able to give us new life. This has been the key to the message of Christianity down through the ages, and it remains key today. It was at the very heart of those first people that gathered in the basement of this place with the dream of a college, a theological college. So as the Church of Christ, who do we say Jesus is? You know, the answer to that question It's the most important answer the church will ever offer. It has always offered that answer in the midst of very differing opinions. After all, the religious leaders said Jesus was a heretic. The Romans said he was an insurrectionist. The people said he was a prophet. And in this 21st century, if we were to go out into the streets and encounter people just in the park and on the streets around St. James this morning, and if we were to ask them, who do you think Jesus is? We would get a mixed bag of answers too, wouldn't we? Some would likely say Jesus was a social revolutionary. Some might say a great moral teacher. And some would say a figure hopelessly lost to the pages of history. And yet, despite these now pervasive views, every Sunday across the GTA, in fact, across the wide expanse of this diocese, there will be people who show up in churches seeking a more substantive answer to who this man Jesus is. The church, where it is alive and well, will still say he is the Messiah. And the church will help such people know what that word means. Help them explore what the Old Testament says about the Messiah. Help them read Jesus' own statements about his identity. Explore what the first Christian beliefs were. They would look at the letters written to the early church and the historic creeds, as well as what the great saints of the faith have said down through the years. These all can help people learn who Jesus is, but I don't actually think they're the reason a person begins to say for themselves that Jesus is the Christ. I think people say that when they encounter him, are moved, challenged, corrected, comforted, and loved by him. This is when Jesus takes on a deeper significance. Over the years, people tell their clergy about the craziest ways in which they come to experience Jesus as the Christ. Sometimes it starts with a stained glass window, a passage of scripture, something somebody says to them, a dream they had, a book they read, even a movie they saw, a great loss they experienced. I even knew a couple that began to explore Christ because of the royal wedding. It can even happen by someone coming to church. To that point, perhaps there's even someone here today who's come seeking to know this person that we call Jesus the Christ. If that's you, don't leave here without asking any of the clergy here at the cathedral how they can help you begin that journey. And if that's you, I have some good news for you. Jesus made the most incredible promise to people that seek him. He said, "All who seek me will find me." That, too, is the kind of Messiah he is. We would expect no less from the Messiah, the Christ of the living God. Amen.